Anybody had anything going on in life this week, month, year, today? We've got a few things going on, don't we? Life circumstances keep happening, right? Do they not? And what do we have to do when we're in the midst of those circumstances? Trust God and bloom where you're planted. Bloom where you're planted. And this message has absolutely nothing to do with Saturday Night's Alive, even though they did talk about good soil getting planted. This was all prepared by God long before that. So, but I do believe that no matter what circumstance you find yourself in, wherever you're planted, wherever happens to you, God put you there for a reason. And that's the reason you're there is to blossom and show good fruit to others. What trusting God is about, what loving God is about, what having faith in God is about, and the fact that God is within you, you can still smile. You can be a sunflower in the darkness of life, right? Right? I mean, big old bright smile, right? You think about a sunflower, to me it reminds me of a big smile. It just doesn't have the eyes and nose and mouth, but I mean, it's huge, right? It's a big, bright, yellow flower. And does not, when you look at a sunflower, doesn't it make your heart smile some? Right. Even a flower can show you God and can give you a spiritual uplift and help you find good, right? And, you know, what I love about flowers very often is they grow everywhere and anywhere. You know, in between the cracks of your cement, of your walk, right? If you go outside to our parking lot in the middle of the asphalt, there's a little flower just propped right on up. And I say, let it grow, let it grow, let it grow. Because some of us are that, aren't we? Right? In the asphalt of life sometimes, right? We're just breaking through the surface. I'm just trying to exist in the heat of what's going on in the world, right? Are we not? Of course we are. So this morning, all of you that are listening and seeing this and hearing this, bloom wherever you're planted. Brighten someone else's life by you being in it. And I want to use a great example of this. We obviously know Jesus was that. We know that Jesus, no matter what circumstance he was faced with, he still served, he still ministered, he still healed, he still gave his life for those that really hurt him and harmed him. He still loved everybody. Beautiful example of love on earth, right? Beautiful example that no matter where he came from, he still came to serve and to love everybody. And that's what we're here to do as well. And another example in the Old Testament to me is Joseph. Joseph is what I call a precursor to Jesus. He's very much like the spirit of Jesus Christ in terms of blooming wherever he was planted. And if you don't know the story of Joseph, it's back in Genesis, begins like around 37, 38 of the chapters there. But I'm not going to preach all of that. I just want to give you a back history on Joseph. Joseph was Jacob's son. And Jacob loved Joseph because Jacob had Joseph when he was quite old. So he was special. And he loved him so much that he gave him a coat of many, many colors. And he blessed him. And as a result of blessing Joseph, Joseph's brothers were quite jealous. A little sibling rivalry going on. You know how bad it is to be the favorite in the family, right? Or not the favorite, right? You know what that feels like, right? So sibling rivalry. They hated him so much that they sold him into slavery. In fact, they pretended and made it look like he was dead. And they brought back that robe and with blood on it from a lamb and gave it to Jacob and said, "Your son is dead." They were done with him. And so Joseph was sold into slavery. And so while he was in prison and he was enslaved, the Bible tells us that God had favor on him and that God helped him succeed in everything he did. Imagine that. What did he succeed at in prison? Just living through it, right? Just living through it. So we're going to pick up the story in chapter 39 of Genesis. So there's a couple places here I want to show you why it's important that no matter what circumstance you find yourself, having the right attitude, having the right attitude matters. Because you can make matters better or worse, can't you, by your attitude? Oh, yes, right? You know? Or you, based on what you're thinking inside your head, whatever story you tell yourself about the circumstance, you can make it really a horror show, or you can make it a peaceful contentment. I accept where I am. Acceptance is probably the hardest place for most of us to live, isn't it? We have to accept so many things in life, particularly the things that we cannot control. What can you control? Go like this. Zero. Big zero. You can control nothing. In fact, most days you can't even control yourself, can you? Truth be told. But you have to learn how to control your attitude, how you see things, how you react to things. You know, even during the concentration camps, Viktor Frankl wrote a beautiful book, and he talks about how some of the people survived being there because of their attitude and their faith in God. Some of them still died, but they died with the right attitude. Interesting, isn't it? He became one of the greatest psychologists to ever live, saying that it's not what happens to you, it's your reaction to what happens to you that matters, right? So we all have a great attitude, don't we? No matter what happens, don't we? Okay, a couple of that's this side of the room is winning this morning. Okay, you'll catch up, you'll catch up. No worries. All right, back to Genesis 39. Now when Joseph arrived in Egypt with the Ishmaelite traders, he was purchased by Potiphar, a member of the personal staff of Pharaoh, the king of Egypt. Potiphar was the captain of the palace guard. The Lord was with Joseph. Okay, wherever you are, the Lord is with you. Say, the Lord is with me. No matter where I am, the Lord is with me. So the Lord was with Joseph and blessed him greatly as he served in the home of the Egyptian master. So now he's from prison. He's now placed into the Pharaoh's kingdom. He's right there at the top with the king of Egypt. And so the Lord helped him serve. So you notice that while he's still enslaved, he's serving with a good attitude. Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph. So not only does Joseph know the Lord's with him, the person watching him knows the Lord is with him. You see, people are always watching you and us as to our attitude and how we reflect back God to the world and how we deal with the place that we're in, our state of circumstances. How we react to that and how we behave shows a lot to other people, doesn't it? Sometimes we give a good testimony. Sometimes not so good, right? But because the Lord is with us and blesses us in the midst of that circumstance, if you can really realize that, you can then have a different attitude, can't you? When you sometimes don't think only about what you're in and what the people around you are being affected by, maybe it'll help change your attitude. Just wondering. So Joseph naturally became quite a favorite with him, right? You see what a good attitude does? Potiphar finds favor with him as a result. So Potiphar soon put Joseph in charge of his entire household and entrusted him with all his business dealings. From the day Joseph was put in charge, the Lord began to bless Potiphar for Joseph's sake. See who else is getting blessed now, right? All his household affairs began to run smoothly, and his crops and livestock flourished. Wow, this Joseph, right, because he's bringing God with him, he's blessing somebody else around him, even someone who's enslaved him, because God's going to be glorified in this. So Potiphar gave Joseph complete administrative responsibility over everything he owned. So now he's moving up in rank, right? You see how a good attitude moves you up in life? Right? A bad attitude moves you. So you want to have an up attitude so you can move up in life. right? And if nothing else, if you feel up, the people around you are going to feel up as well. You see how it all, right? Do we not need more uppers in the world? Of a human nature kind? Of a godly kind? Now that was almost a downer, but I didn't let it get me down. With Joseph there, they didn't have to worry about a thing or the world, except to decide what he wanted to eat. Wow, Potiphar could not even worry about a thing. That's having a great servant, isn't it? What if you could not worry about a thing? See, God put Joseph in charge, right? Right? We know who put Joseph there, right? His brothers, but really God was there. So God put him in charge, and Joseph then served, and then all the other people got blessed as a result. So you see how God is in the midst of wherever you might be also? Wouldn't it be great if you didn't have a worry in the world? Wouldn't it be nice to be worry-free? You're worry-free. How about that? Did that work? Did I get you? What's going to make you worry-free? Trusting in God. Knowing that wherever I am, the Lord is with me. If the Lord is with me, can anyone or anyone defeat me? Can anyone hurt me? Who will defend me? That's a good attitude to have. The Lord is with me. And because the Lord is with me, I bless everybody around me, right? Awesome. Beautiful. Now, Joseph was a very handsome and well-built young man. And about this time, Potiphar's wife began to desire him and invited him to sleep with her. Uh-oh. Now what's Joseph going to do? But Joseph refused. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. See, we trust God and God has to trust us, right? So Joseph was a man of integrity, wasn't he? Because he was also loyal to Potiphar, but also to his God. And he realized he was not about to commit adultery, was he? No. So he, even though this beautiful woman is coming on to him, he's like, no. Look, he told her, my master trusts me with everything in his entire household. No one here has more authority than I do. He has held back nothing from me except you because you are his wife. How could I ever do such a wicked thing? That's a pretty good no, isn't it? How would you like to say no that emphatically to some things in your life? No is a good word, especially something like this. It would be a great sin against God. We know where Joseph stands, don't we? You know how the kind of man he is, right? She kept putting pressure on him day after day. Uh-oh. Anybody had pressure put on you day after day about some things in your life? Day after day after day after day after day after day. And what often happens when those days go on and on and on, when some of the things that are pressuring us? What can happen to us if we're not careful? We can succumb, can't we? Because we forget the Lord is with me. And with the Lord is with me, I'm more powerful than anything that's coming against me. We have to remember that. See, being a Christian is about having a good memory, remembering who you belong to, and remembering who's going to help you. The power of the Holy Spirit in us, right, will help us. But pressures come, don't they, sometimes? But he refused to sleep with her, and he kept out of her way as much as possible. Smart man, right? When things are coming your way, stay away from it. The best thing to do is avoid some of those things and places, right? It helps. You know, with the thing that's in the refrigerator that's so sweet, and it wakes you up in the middle of the night, you know, that leftover that you said, oh, I'm not going to eat that. And it's calling your name in the middle of the night. Stay away from it. We have all kinds of temptations, don't we, in life? One day, however, no one else was around when he was doing his work inside the house. She came and grabbed him by his shirt, demanding, "Sleep with me!" Joseph tore himself away. Wow, this man has got some willpower. He has won't power. "No, I won't sleep with you." See, we don't need willpower. We need won't power more often than not, don't we? "No, I won't do that. No, I won't go there. No, I won't touch that. No, I won't, because I belong to the Lord," right? "I won't do that." So Joseph tore himself away, but as he did, his shirt came off. She was left holding it as he ran from the house. Woo, he's gone, getting away from her. When she saw that she had his shirt and that he had fled, she began screaming. Soon all the men around the place came running. "My husband has brought this Hebrew slave here to insult us," she sobbed. "He tried to rape me, but I screamed. When he heard my loud cries, he ran and left his shirt behind with me." She kept the shirt with her, and when her husband came home that night, she told him the story. "That Hebrew slave you have around here tried to make a fool of me," she said. "I was saved only by my scream. He ran out, leaving his shirt behind." Whoa. Joseph's in big trouble now, isn't he? Anybody have anything go on where you've been misunderstood? So Joseph's in big trouble now. What do you think Joseph ought to do? After hearing his wife's story, Potiphar was furious. He took Joseph and threw him into the prison where the king's prisoners were held. Next verse, 21. So now he's thrown in jail, right? He's been framed for something he didn't do. He did the right thing. He's getting punished for it. You ever feel like you're doing the right thing all the time and life just keeps punishing you for no good reason? You wonder why is this all happening? And you think God's punishing you? Got to go to verse 21 really quick with me now, church. But the Lord was with Joseph there too. But the Lord was with Joseph there too. Even though he got thrown into prison for something he didn't do, the Lord was with him there too. Whatever circumstance you find yourself in, no matter what it is, the Lord is with you there too. So have a good attitude. Have a good attitude. Because your attitude will change everything. You want the rest of the story? It's not going too good for Joseph right now, is it? Kind of feel sorry for him, don't you? His life's a little worse off than yours is right now, right? Kind of in the story? Yeah. It's always nice to compare yourself to someone worse off. But the Lord was with Joseph there too and granted Joseph favor with the chief jailer. Before long, the jailer put Joseph in charge of all the other prisoners and over everything that happened in the prison. What's happened to Joseph again, even in prison the second time? He's getting promoted again. Why? Because he's got a good attitude. Because the Lord is with him, right? God has a way to always make something better for us no matter where we are. If we'll just hang on there with God and have a right attitude. Bloom where you're planted. Make the most of it. Right? Make the most of it. You got to think positive, right? You got to think anyway, think positive. The Lord is with me. I've got everything I need. I'll get through this. So he gets promoted again. The chief jailer had no more worries after that. How cool is this? This is the second time we see, because Joseph is now serving in the prison where he's planted. He's in the prison. He's serving God, and he's serving the jailer at this point with a good attitude, still probably mopping up, cleaning up, you know, making sure all the prisoners get enough food. Who knows what's really going on with inside of that place, right? He's giving away maybe his food, maybe his water to other people. He's ministering to others, even in prison. And he gets promoted for it. Beautiful, isn't it? You see what a good attitude will get you. You waiting for your promotion? Change your attitude. Just saying. I believe that we're like a magnet. I just believe this. We attract things to us. You know, we're a magnet. You know what a magnet looks like? Remember that kind of looking thing, right? Like that. You know, you go around like this, right? And, you know, and if you go towards something that's not magnetized to you, right, it won't cling on, will it? There's certain metals, I think, that magnets attract, right? We know, right? Okay. Our scientists in the room, right? Based on the kind of magnet I am, I'm going to attract to myself, that's what I'm supposed to be attracting to me, aren't I? And good attracts good. It just does. It just does. And then you say, well, wait a minute now. That's not, Joseph isn't having such a good time. He's in prison. But the Lord is with him. And if the Lord is with Joseph, what do you think Joseph's attitude is? It's a good attitude. He might as well make the best of it. Whatever situation you find yourself in, make the best of it. Spend time with God. Pray. Continue to serve your way through it. Continue to do good and put good out. And what's going to come back? Good. Of course. So if you don't like what's coming your way in your life, you know, sometimes I think there's an arrow on the back of my shirt that says, you know, kick me. You feel like that some days? Yeah, right? But if I turn around, there's nothing there. But if I have a good coming out this way, what's going to come to me? Good. It just will. I don't know how it works that way or why it works that way, except the Bible says you reap what you sow. You know, we got this farming thing going on here with Saturday Night's Alive, and they're saying you put seeds in the soil. First, you have to have good soil. So we're assuming that all of you believers are good soil, and we're planting seeds in you. What do you think we're planting in you? Corn, beans, cilantro, chives, right? Sunflowers, right? But what if by mistake we happen to throw in, you know, like some garlic? Ooh, you're going to be stinky kind of plant. Or a hot chili pepper. If you plant that into your life, you know, a hot chili pepper, right? A jalapeno or something like that. If you got that kind of fiery mouth every once in a while, some of us do, right? You wonder why we have to plant something else, is what I'm saying. Whatever you plant into your life, let it be something you want to see reap later, right? Plant good thoughts. Plant good sayings. Plant love into your life. Plant peace. Plant God no matter where you are. And wherever you're planted, bloom. Do and serve God in that, wherever you may be. You want to hear the rest of the story? I know, you want to get out of here. Okay. Got service to do. The chief jailer had no more worries about after that because Joseph took care of everything. The Lord was with him, making everything run smoothly and successfully. See, Joseph was in prison, yet the Lord was with him. Everything went smoothly and successfully. I guess I want to say it this way. When things aren't going very successfully for you, I think perhaps the Lord, you need more of the Lord in your life. You need more prayer. You need more presence. You need to stop trying to fix a problem, but fix your eyes on God. That'll change your attitude. It'll help you look at the good, find the good in yourself and in others. The story goes on in chapter 41. 2 years later, Pharaoh then promotes Joseph again. And in verse 37, it says, Joseph's suggestions that he made to Pharaoh and his advisors were well received. And actually, Pharaoh actually appoints Joseph to be the second person in charge of all of Egypt. And Joseph's name gets changed by Pharaoh because Joseph had the gift of discerning dreams. And he told Pharaoh about a couple of dreams that he had had, or that the Pharaoh had. He actually interpreted those dreams. And because of that, Joseph was then raised up because he had the gift to be able to help give someone hope. And that's what he does with the Egyptian king. And so he gets promoted even higher. And then later on in the story, by the time you get to chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, there's a famine that takes place that was predicted in those dreams. And Joseph manages to have plenty of food set aside to feed all of the people of Egypt, including his brothers who sold him into slavery. That Joseph had a good attitude, didn't he? He had a forgiving heart, didn't he? But Pharaoh changed his name, and I had to look it up because it was a Hebrew name that became Egyptian. And the name actually meant the one who furnishes nourishment in life. Joseph had fed so many people God through his attitude, whether he was in prison, whether he was right under the king of Egypt, when he forgave his brothers, even later on. He was someone who nourished people through their life. Did the man bloom where he was planted? Wouldn't you like to have that kind of attitude? Good. You're going to start today. I know that life can be difficult. I know that life can be hard. We're not here to say it isn't. Bad things can happen to good people. Joseph was a good man. But the thing that got Joseph through all of what he went through was having the Lord with him and still acting like the Lord was with him. He never copped an attitude of revenge towards the wife who tried to seduce him, towards his brothers who had sold him into slavery, towards Potiphar, who threw him in jail unjustly. He never had a revengeful or ever wanted to seek harm to anybody else. Wow. Could we not use a world today where revenge wasn't our go-to? What about forgiveness? Where does that begin? You and me. Us. Because who's hearing the message? You are. The Lord is with me wherever I am. And because the Lord is with me, I'm showing the Lord to other people. So are you. And no matter where you find yourself, whatever circumstance you're in right now, is God going to get you out of that circumstance? Eventually. Well, what if he doesn't? What if he doesn't? You still can serve with a good attitude, can't you? You still can have a smile on your face. You still can sing a song of praise. You still can show people love, mercy, and grace and tenderness, right? If Jesus could be on the cross and say, "Father, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing," should we do any less? Of course not. So, church, all of you beautiful plants, my sunflowers and roses and tulips and all that other kind of good flowers that you are, because you're all diverse and different and special. Even if you're in the middle of the asphalt, just squeeze your way through that, up into that heat, look up to the sun, and bloom. Give someone a smile. I know this, you'll never look at a flower in the middle of a cement again, the same ever again. And some days you're the flower, and some days you're the cement. Bloom where you're planted. Amen? Amen.